GBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Talking about her plan, should she be elected president, and about her opponent, who used a four-letter curse to describe her, Vice President Kamala Harris tonight in Brookfield, Wisconsin.
He is increasingly unstable, but you don't have to take my word for it. Listen to the people who know him best.
Appearing with Harris in three states today, former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney. When asked about death threats against federal hurricane response workers, former President Trump in North Carolina repeated false claims about the federal aid going to illegal migrants. After Mr. Trump at a rally told a story about men in locker room showers admiring the late legendary golfer Arnold Palmer's private parts, Palmer's daughter, Peg Palmer Wears, tells ABC News the former president's comments were disrespectful, inappropriate, and unacceptable. Gasoline prices went down some more over the past week, according to the Energy Department. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris is taking her message to Republicans and independent voters in Wisconsin. The vice president held an event in Brookfield Monday night. She appeared with Republican former Congresswoman Liz Cheney and conservative commentator Charlie Sykes. Both have endorsed the Democrat. They say Donald Trump is too dangerous. A public school administrator in Northwest Wisconsin is in big trouble with the law. Here's James Kelly.
Former Glenwood City School District Superintendent Tim Johnson is facing 17 felony charges, including theft, money laundering, forgery, and misconduct of office. He's accused of taking over $90,000 through his position as superintendent and not completing university classes for which he was given over $200,000. Johnson stepped down from his Chippewa Falls HR position earlier this year.
I'm James Kelly.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about. Words of the day, impulse control. Evidently, the guy running for president as a Republican doesn't have any. Because the question is, how many times have we heard Trump utter the words of, you know, I just have to say it. I just had to say, I have to say it. How many times have we heard that? And now, you know, this most recent iteration of, I just had to say it. I have to say it. I can't not. He's talking about Arnold Palmer's, you know, little Arnie. And I don't know why Trump is fixated on Arnold Palmer's putter. Let's go with that. I'm not sure why. I'm not quite sure why. But I don't think we need to know what Donald Trump thinks of Arnold Palmer's stuff. And it makes me wonder a whole bunch of stuff about what goes on at these rich people country clubs. Maybe there is a ruler in the men's locker room. I've never been in a locker room where that's been the case. Most of the time you walk into a men's locker room, it's eyes, you know, just looking above people's heads, where you're going, fixated, and certainly not looking down and not talking about it. This idea that, you know, everyone's talking, and I never heard that before. And I would have never cared. But this is one of those, again, impulse control things that he just, he had to. He had to say it. It was there. It had to come out. And you got to ask the question from a national security standpoint. How many times has he had to say something? How many times did he just have to let it out? You know, behind closed doors with Vladimir Putin, maybe? You know, maybe with President Xi from China? We don't know. But this is one of those again, Trumpian tics, if you will. And not surprising, because it's clearly who he is. It's clearly what he's done and what he's gotten away with all these years. So for me, you go, maybe we don't? Now, that wasn't the weirdest thing he did this weekend. I'm sure everyone has seen the fake work, because Trump loves fake work. He loves to play dress up, you know, like a little kid. He just loves to, you know, to put on the little hats. My favorite picture of him is the one of him road raging behind a truck. He's all bent over, or the shovel picture from Foxconn in Wisconsin. But this one was a little weirder, because, you know, I know he loves McDonald's. I know he, you know, it's one of his favorite places. He's talked about it a lot. He's consumed it a lot. I'm not beating him up for that. We all have. But this didn't make any sense why you would play dress up. I mean, you know, Ronald McDonald's already their clown. We didn't need another one. But to go there and not have a policy, to go there and have the restaurant shut down so that you could screen the people who came through, just odd. But the thing is this is a guy who wouldn't know an actual honest day's work if it jumped up and bit him in the you-know-what. And it got me thinking about, well, one, why would he do it? You know, is this because Kamala Harris worked at a McDonald's 40 years ago? And you know, he needs to say that he did? I don't know. And if that's the case, what kind of thin-skinned guy? You don't want a thin-skinned egomaniac as president. So she worked at a McDonald's, yeah, but she also got elected as attorney general, and she also got elected as a U.S. senator. She also has a very successful career. Not handed to her, worked for it. And that's what I like about her. The fact that she knows what it's like to actually work. So to go into that environment and not have a minimum wage policy that would help those workers to have better lives is ludicrous to me. To not have any policy to help people make their lives better, kind of frightening. But, you know, not surprising. And I looked at it and I go, you know, so he's playing dress up. You know, I remember when my daughters were young, when they were like 4 or 5 years old. They used to have tea parties. Now, they weren't real tea parties. They were playing, just like Donald Trump pretending he's a fast food worker. So he put some fries into a bag badly, and somehow that's the experience. So the question is what does he think that we're going to take from this? I hope working people look at this and go, what a clown. Why would you do that? And not have something that's going to make those workers' lives better. Because remember, he's against the minimum wage. Remember, he was against the joint employer rule. Remember, he's against a lot of the labor protections that the Biden folks have been pushing through. Remember, he is not on the side of working people, but he will go and play. He'll go play fast food restaurants. And if he was good, they would give him some French fries. Scary, scary, frightening times. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sarah Burris from Raw Story is going to be here. Stick around. Back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I gotta tell you, the closer to election day we get, the longer this slogs on. The more Trump seems to just be losing his mind. And every day it's something new, isn't it? Every day something new. In fact, on Sunday, I believe it was, over the weekend, Trump was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I've got no cognitive problem. No cognitive problem. And you go, that constant repeating? Maybe get that checked out. But here to share some thoughts on, well, where we are and as we, I'm not going to say sprint to the finish line, but as we do whatever it is that this is, as we get to that finish line, here to share some thoughts on that, I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website, to come share some thoughts. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
As we slowly crawl toward something, some mirage in the desert that we desperately hope has water with it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where if you're explaining, you know, I don't have any cognitive, cognitive. It's like a glitch in the machine. You got a problem.
Right? It's sort of like a robot, you know, a fake little Trump robot where every minute, a couple minutes, he's just going to be like, bzz, bzz, bzz. But yeah, I think he's short-circuited several times. It's very clear that he realizes it, because I think that's what him bailing out of these interviews, sometimes in the middle of the interviews, I think that's what that's about. The rally where he started swaying and, you know, wanted to listen to music. I think that's exactly what was happening there, is he was just like, I can't do this anymore. Or I think it became clear that he had no idea what he was talking about, and even he didn't understand himself, perhaps. There are a lot of issues, though, that people care about, whether it's housing or, you know, like just simple things that are not his forte and never was his forte. And he's never had a slogan about it, and he's never really been able to talk about those issues. So then taking him to a town hall and asking him things like, you know, about affordable housing, like, it's just not going to work for him, and he can't BS an answer.
Yeah. When jingoism no longer sells, you actually have to have a policy, and not just a concept of a policy or a framework or a structure or whatever it is he said.
And I think that's the disadvantage to him announcing that he was going to run, right? Was like 2 days after the 2022 election. Like, it was very quick, and he wanted to announce so that he could be able to go to court with all of his cases and be like, look, you gotta have hands off, because I'm a presidential candidate. You can't do anything to me. But obviously that hasn't worked out in his favor. But over time, it's just, it means that he has slowly shown where he is on the issues that he has a slogan for, but when you start pressing him toward actual issues, it's just not going to happen. And whereas you've got Kamala Harris, who's been in this race for what, like 75 days? And it's just a huge contrast, because she's like, you want to know my policies? Here is everything. Here are like 900 pages.
I did my homework.
Yeah.
I didn't have someone else do my 900 page report. I've done my own.
Yeah. So, and I think that is a stark contrast. And it doesn't matter how many times he tries to say, you know, she's an idiot or she's stupid. You know, it's starting to look desperate for him, because it's very clear that she's not, that she is exactly what she's talking about.
Where are the calls in the media for him to step down? I mean, because cognitively, look, I mean, he's been doing some really goofy stuff. I mean, you know, I get, you know, abruptly walking out on Bongino. That's going to be one of the friendliest interviews he does. Bongino is going to lick his boots. You know that. I got some other questions. I mean, did you see the rally where he's talking about Arnold Palmer's junk?
That was the weirdest thing. I mean, to be fair, I don't know if he like has a little man crush on Arnold Palmer or he secretly wants to be Arnold Palmer.
I did ask the question, what are you doing in those locker rooms that the rest of us aren't doing? Why are you staring at him? Maybe golfers are different. I don't know, but I've never done that.
I've always been told by the boys, never look, like you're never supposed to look. That's a thing. And I was like, all right, whatever. So I am not the best person to ask these questions, but also it just seems rude. Like with women, you know, you're just like, oh my God, that bra is super cute. Like, where did you get that? But with boys, I think that'd be totally different. Like, damn, where do you buy condoms?
No, that conversation doesn't happen. No. You know, that's one of those things that does not happen unless you're someone who goes to Epstein Island or Diddy's place.
Right, which part of it. Yes. Oh man, but I think with Bongino's place, like, why would you walk out of the friendly interview?
Yeah,
that's the one that's the easy part where you know you could just sort of shoot the bull and steer the conversation wherever you want to, and he's going to go with you wherever you want. Whereas you know you go into some other kind of thing like the Univision Town Hall, for example, or the Kristi Noem thing. Like, even though Kristi Noem was a friendly and that audience was a MAGA audience, it just was embarrassing.
Yeah,
and
Kristi Noem, man. I was talking to a friend.
Kristi Noem is embarrassing.
No, I was talking to a friend and I go, there's the oldest profession in the world. And there was a moment where I think she realized she was bought and paid for.
Maybe. I mean, it was really hard. You could see she needs to learn how to get a poker face real fast. That's the other thing, is you could watch her face and her like, I'm really concerned right now.
Yeah, where you realize that you're in. You've been bought, you've been paid for, you're stuck there, and you better figure out how to play along, even though you know this is really terrible. When have we ever heard a politician say, let's, instead of me answering your question, let's just dance badly to the YMCA song?
That's the other thing, is he couldn't even do YMCA.
I mean, I can't do YMCA because I'm not going to do it.
Well, like, even if you get, can't remember which way
this
goes, like, totally get it. But come on.
I'm not going to beat him up for that. I'm not doing it. when have you ever had a crowd of people and a politician standing before them going, you know what? I don't really have anything to say to you. Let's just play some bad music from the 70s. It's never happened before. This is one of those things where, to your point, that, you know, there's something going wrong there. There's some wiring not working. But for me, as I said here at the beginning, the Arnold Palmer thing is really troubling, in that it shows a lack of impulse control. Because if you remember, before he came out with it, he's like, you know, I shouldn't say it. I don't want to say it. I have to say it. He teased it of, well, I shouldn't, I can't, I won't. And then, I just have to. And it's that kind of impulse control on a whole lot of instances, not just this. But over the last, several years, that's been his thing. So the question that then comes up for me is, when you were talking to Vlad, what did you have to say? When you were writing love letters to Kim Jong-un, what did you have to say?
When you were talking to Putin and you still had the documents at Mar-a-Lago.
Correct.
You know, did you have that same comment where you're like, I shouldn't, I can't, I really shouldn't.
Oh, come on, Donnie, you can do it.
But here is everything.
Come on, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's every single piece of troop movements for the United States that you need to know about.
Right.
You know, like.
No, and it's just we're in such a weird world because I'm looking at where we are and the fact that, there are working people who right now are going to support this guy. who's being backed heavily by one of the goofiest human beings I think I've ever seen, and one of the strangest, but yet one of the most powerful people in the country, Elon Musk, and the kind of targeting he's doing on Twitter, the fact that he was here in Harrisburg, and the only way that I would be able to go see him is if I took an absolute pledge and gave all this information that I would support the First and Second Amendment as it is, with no preconditions. Or it was really just kind of this kind of weird oath that, I don't know, fascistic societies tend to throw in our face.
Well, there's the other piece of it, too, where now he's offering cash to people who accept the oath. And that then becomes an issue of, are you buying people's vote? Like, what is happening here? Are you paying people for their vote? And I don't know where, I'm not smart enough to know the laws on stuff like that. But it just seems like it is just sketchy enough that
we should probably
have somebody who's looking into it.
Yeah, maybe? They don't care. Because what they know is two things. One, no one's going to prosecute him. And if he does, it's going to be a long, drawn-out thing where years down the road. And two, if it does influence the election, they do win from cheating in this fashion, they're going to get the spoils of the victory. They're going to be able to pass their agenda. And then down the road, maybe have to do like they do when they fire workers in an organizing campaign, post a notice saying they're sorry and that they'll never do it again until they get caught again down the road.
Right. I mean, I think that there is, I saw the governor, your governor Shapiro, who was questioning the legality of it. I do think that there are political careers that are made off of lawsuits like this.
Yep.
So there may be one attorney general, state attorney general, who's like, awesome, I'm going to go after this because it will make me, you know, something. I'll be able to write my ticket after this. So, I mean, I get those people who want to take it on personally as a crusade and are willing to recognize that it's going to be a long haul and they're probably not going to make any money. But, you know, it's not a, it's, I don't know that the Justice Department is willing to go broke on it.
Nope. No, look, they're struggling where they are already. But, you know, here's the weird thing. That was, to me, the weirdest thing that Trump did all weekend. canceling the Bongino interview, talking about Arnold Palmer's junk. I'm sure he's fixated on other people's junk quite frequently. It was the fake work that got my attention. I'm sure you saw on Sunday, Trump dressed up in an apron and handed out fries to, you know, pre-screened loyalists. It was a nice bit of political theater, him pretending to work at McDonald's. And the weird thing to me, and maybe you've got a thought on why he did it, but it was just weird to me that, you know, I thought Ronald McDonald was the clown for McDonald's. I didn't know Trump had to wear the red tie to do it, too.
Right? I mean, that's the thing, is that you saw him sort of taking his jacket off, and then you saw that spare tire of French fries around his belly. Not that I can speak, but...
I'm not saying a word.
I know, right? but still, you know, I think there is this idea that he is so far above everyone, you know, that he is this big, wealthy, successful, whatever. There is a danger, I think, of becoming that George H.W. Bush with the "what the hell is this" with the scanner at the grocery store. And so this idea that, you know, he can go to McDonald's and, like, you know, work the fryer or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I had someone send me a side-by-side of him with the fryer and Michael Dukakis in the tank and going, this is his Michael Dukakis moment. I don't believe that. I don't believe anything he does is going to sway support to or from him in this moment. I just don't.
I don't either.
I think we are so in our camps, it's only a matter of who shows up and who doesn't. And that's why the pollsters are having such a hard time, because there aren't those mythical unicorns of undecided voters out there. And if there are, our democracy is, as I've said before, sadly, our democracy is held in the balance by the least informed, least active, least educated, least engaged voters in the country. And I don't know that that's a great place to be in.
My favorite post that I saw on Facebook, somebody shared where it said something like, well, I know that Darth Vader is really dangerous, and I know that he blew up a planet, but I just don't, I haven't read enough about Princess Leia to know if she's really a good enough person. And for me, like that encapsulated this more than anything. And it made more sense than, but her emails, you know, like that made sense for Hillary Clinton. But in this context, there is no, but her emails. Right. And so it's very, like, they have to come up with something without being able to say, but you're black.
No, there you go. But you're a woman and you're black. Yeah. Excellent point. But, you know, the weird thing to me is, and I think universally everyone agrees, maybe you will too. I think the only reason he did this little, you know, political theater, this fake work stunt that he seems to enjoy so much, is because Kamala Harris worked at a McDonald's 40 years ago as a teenager, and he had to be able to say, see, I did it too, which is a weird kind of thing. And, you know, my son said that, you know, while his friend, who's a big Trump supporter, would probably say, well, Trump's just trolling her. And I'm going, yeah, I'm missing the troll here.
Yeah, I think most normal people looked at this and were just like, what the hell is this? I think, frankly, the other piece of this is that his campaign was really into it because they weren't going to ask him any political questions. I think honest to God, like, I think you're going to see more events like this where it's going to be shaking hands and kissing babies. I almost said shaking babies and kissing hands. but
yeah, you don't want to give him a baby near the fryer, do you?
Right. I think it's going to be this performative stuff because he legitimately can't answer questions anymore. And I don't know if that means that for the next couple of weeks, we're going to start saying, like, you know, what is he doing? But he can't disappear. Like, he can't take a day off, because then there's a question of, you know, where's Trump? What happened to him?
Yeah.
The other day, I want to say last weekend, maybe he did a rally. It may have actually been in Pennsylvania, where he said, I've been doing this nonstop for 42 days. And I went back and looked at the calendar and I was like, dude, you were on the golf course like a couple of weeks ago, because that's where the dude tried to shoot you.
Right.
It hasn't been 42 days. Maybe it seems like that, but I'm sorry, bro. Like, this isn't, you know, it might feel hard, but imagine what it's going to be like when you're actually the president, and maybe that's the reason you should step aside.
No, and this is where the interesting part is, because I've had people say, well, they're not really voting for Trump because they know he's not going to be around long, and that J.D. Vance is going to be the real president. That's the undercurrent of why a lot of the MAGA folks haven't really moved on from him. They know Dear Leader got him this far. And they're going to ride him into the election, but they know he's going to step aside at some point, and then we're going to get that guy, the guy with the eyeliner and the punishing women guy.
Yeah, and to me, that seems way crazier. I don't understand the people who look at J.D. Vance and go, that's the guy I want, right? Because I don't know how you figure out what side he's really on. There's no genuine there. Everything seems very, very cookie cutter. Like, I'm going to be this person. I'm going to be this person. And he's choosing whichever side, you know, gets him the most support. And so I don't know that is legitimately MAGA enough for people. I mean, if I was MAGA, it wouldn't be enough for me. But then again, you know,
I don't know. I don't know. See, you're thinking with a normal brain.
I know, right? Darn my normal brain.
You haven't had the red ink, you know, get in there yet. And
I haven't had the pill, the red pill or the whatever.
So last question I got for you. Week going to be an interesting week. We're counting down the days. What are we expecting in the coming days? What are you watching out for?
So the thing I'm really watching out for is if he's willing to do any interviews other than Fox News, because I think that she's going to be probing him on that. I think everybody should be probing him on that. If you remember, the New York Times did something like 30 different articles about Joe Biden and his cognitive, you know, whatever, and his mental fitness. And so I think that is going to continue to be a question, perhaps even a bigger one after the Arnold Palmer thing. So I don't know if we ever hear him actually answer a legitimate question again. If I was his campaign, I'd say no. But
so is this the week we start seeing virtual rallies where they start splicing together greatest hits of rallies from past?
Maybe, or it's just like all of the rallies become more concert-like, where he brings in some of his supporters to come in and play, like, you know, a set or something like that, where he's like, and now introducing Kid Rock, or
it's
whatever.
It's like a mini convention, then, is what you're saying.
Kind of.
I'm going to have to find out if Sean O'Brien's free. Maybe we can get him back on the trail.
Yeah, I'm sure he would love to be at that. He would enjoy it so much.
Get another thumbs up picture. There you go. Good stuff. Sarah, as always, amazing work over there at Raw Story. Hope folks will check out the work, rawstory.com. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a good week.
You as well. Our good friend Sarah Burris. Want to hear your thoughts. What are you expecting in the coming days and weeks until the big election? Will it be, maybe hologram Trump? Maybe we're going to get, a virtual Trump to go out and do some of the greatest hits. I wonder how that would fly. Want to hear your thoughts. Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and a low in the low 50s tonight. A mixture of sunshine and clouds, a chance of showers in the afternoon and evening tomorrow. Not as warm, high low 70s. Cooler for the rest of the week, highs only in the mid-50s Wednesday, mid-60s Thursday. Currently, it's 66.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, I really did, I wanted to go to the Elon Musk shindig in my neck of the woods on Saturday night. And, well, to be honest, I was at the hospital with my wife, so didn't really want to leave her side and wasn't willing to take the absolutist pledge that they want. And also, give them all of my information, because understand it's a huge data mining operation. But I could have won $1 million. And I'll think about this for a second. We're giving out $1 million to entice voters to come out and give their information and do all this stuff. But you can't give someone a bottle of water standing online in Georgia. That's a felony. Interesting times. Here to share some thoughts on the legalities of what Musk is doing, because there's a lot of people saying what Elon's doing is akin to trying to buy votes. I've asked our good friend Bob Ney, former Ohio congressman and political analyst, to come share some thoughts. The guy who helped write the Help America Vote Act. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick.
So what do you make of this? Is this a big deal, or is it much ado about nothing? It's just enticing people to say that they love the First and Second Amendment, feeling free to give out their information. They win $1 million. Who gets hurt by it?
Well, you make a good point about mining the data. So he's probably making some money off this then,
Yeah, I've always reiterated what my grandfather said. If a rich guy takes a buck out of his pocket to tell you you don't need something, you better spend two to get it. Right. And if Musk is spending this kind of money to influence us one way or another, as my grandfather said, they understand return on investment. There's something here for Elon Musk. There's something here that he will get his money back and then some, or at least that's what I believe.
Well, people will go that don't like Musk or Trump, maybe to win $1 million. There's always the gimmicks in politics and the raffles. And I know both campaigns I've seen where you can, you don't have to, but you make a donation and you can end up spending lunch with somebody's husband or Trump's wife, I don't know what, you know.
No, Kamala Harris is doing it right now. There's a special musical guest. They're going to fly you out to do the special musical guest. You'll meet all that stuff. There's that. So do you think that Josh Shapiro, who is Pennsylvania's governor, was the attorney general in this state, do you think he's right by questioning the legality of this action by Musk?
Well, I think anything in politics, frankly, should be questioned. You know, if people have raffles, if you have independent expenditures. Now, here's the other thing. And, you know, I tried to work on it. John McCain became unglued over it. John McCain convinced people that soft money, which was corporate or union, was the end all that was destroying America as we know it. And so then we banned it. And then we opened up, you know, you could drive 3 Mack trucks through the loopholes for Soros, the Koch brothers, right or left or in the middle, you know. So here's what, they should look at gimmicks. Why not? See if it's done properly. But the other thing somewhere down the line is all of these, you know, billionaires, right or left, should have to tell who's coughing up money, because you could have a real rich character coughing up a bunch of money to a left or right pack that has a purpose, something they want done, somebody they want taken out politically, you know? So there's all kinds of gimmicks in this business anymore. But yeah, they can look at everything that's out there and question it, see if it's legal or not.
No, I mean, there's a lot of money pouring into Trump's camp. Even though they're crying poverty, you've got Musk who's giving them like $70 million. Mm-hmm. And you know, all of this, all of this stuff that he's doing, you know, part of that, and which is why I think, you know, I looked at the latest tip tracking poll, which has Trump over Harris 49-47. And I look at some of the craziness that's come out of Trump, and I just keep going, how is it possible? I'm sure that you saw over the weekend his ramblings about Arnold Palmer's his club.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's go with that. Let's go with
his putter. Yeah.
His putter. I don't know. I'm sure you've spent time in locker rooms. I know that I have. I played sports a lot when I was younger. I can't tell you anything about anybody. That was never the topic of any discussion that I've ever been a part of. So the fact that he's not just compelled to tell a story, but actually fixated on this, because this goes back to 2016 as well. This is something he's been talking about since 2016.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're at the Y and somebody sings in the shower, you still don't go tell that. I mean, there's no reason to tell anything of that nature, especially what Trump said. I don't know. I don't know what it tied into or who would be impressed by it. But he still continues to say things and more things. Now, I looked at the averages because Harris was up on some averages. If you average the swing states, Trump was at 50.2. Some of these differences are 0.5 of a point between the two candidates. So this is going to go back and forth. Now, you can't do a poll every time, you know, Trump says something, but I think about every 4 days, some of this grows tighter, sometimes for her after maybe an interview and it didn't go that well or whatever, but sometimes, you know, after him. So even though it's a short period of time left, a couple of weeks, there's still room for people to maneuver back and forth, because I really believe that, and this is why, you know, some people have been mad on the Republican side at Republicans coming out against Trump, because right now, statistically, where Biden had 5% of Republicans, I believe the last time I looked, Harris was at 9 or 10%. So she gained, you know, doubled the average that Biden had. And if you add a few more percentage here and there, and if she can bring certain things up, of course, Trump's capturing, you know, more of the male vote now. So they're both going back and forth. But, you know, this is Fisher cut bait time. And the ads have to be focused, and the activity, especially obviously in the swing states, has to be focused to get them the votes out of the communities they're looking for. And then the biggie, get people out to vote. That's bigger this time than ever before.
Yeah, I can't help but think about Howard Dean. I can't help but think an off-key scream got him thrown out of a presidential election.
Yeah. Yes.
Donald Trump talking about another man's junk because he had to. And again, as I said at the beginning, this is about impulse control. He can't control himself. He had to. It was there. It was right there. It was on his tongue. He had to say it. And I got to wonder how many other things have been there that he's had to say, maybe behind closed doors without someone taking notes to Vladimir Putin, maybe in a love letter to Un. I don't know, but it's this kind of impulse control that I think we should be questioning seriously, because men don't do this. And I go, maybe I'm being misogynistic. Maybe men don't talk about other men's stuff to a crowd of people.
Yes.
It's just... And also, politicians don't dance to YMCA when they've got a crowd of supporters that they could be riling up. There's just so much here. You go, diminished capacity, on the tip of his tongue. What's he going to let out? I don't know how in this day you stick with him.
Well, I mean, politics has changed so much. Howard Dean today could probably wear a wife beater and scream and still be in the race, potentially. I mean, things have changed, as you know, since 2016.
And on the Republican side, he could be a wife beater and get away with it. Because the thing that gets me is, you know, I look at Trump, and, you know, there was a comment that he made about, you know, China respects him because he's effing crazy. And I'm going, one, nice presidential language, but two, no. Nobody thinks you're crazy other than women and people who you can bully that are weaker than you. And that's just such a weird position.
Well, politics has become so polarized that in either side, you can now have people that can say things that have never been said before, do things. And of course, Trump has taken it to a complete brand new level. Now, the part that remains, though, to be seen in the next 2 weeks, and I think you see it. Yes, he has a loyal following. I'm not questioning that whatsoever. But people I know that are still supporting Trump, and I've asked them, what do you think? A lot of them say, and these aren't people that have drank Kool-Aid, all right, but they like him, or they don't like her for certain reasons. They really couldn't stand Biden. And a lot of them, well, I'd say all of them that I have, their friends, I've said, what do you think of him? And they'll say, well, he's, you know, I'm getting tired of him. They'll tell you that.
Yeah.
And
so what do you think
you
4 years
wonder,
is going to be? How tired are you going to be?
You wonder election day what's going to happen.
Yeah. Now, the weird thing is, and again, I look at someone like Lindsey Graham, who is coming out chastising Republicans for backing Harris. And yet the things that Lindsey has said over the years.
Wow. Look, I started Congress with Lindsey Graham. You couldn't get near Newt Gingrich unless you shoved Lindsey Graham away at one point in time, right? Then Lindsey kind of decided, oh, Newt makes our districts a little bit tough. I was in a 16% Republican district. I didn't go around denouncing Newt. I said, here's my plan. This is what I'm standing for. Lindsey panicked and led this rebellion, remember? So this day he was for Newt, that day he was against him. Well, it's the same thing. You know, this... he was against Donald Trump. Now he's for him. You know, he's all over. You see Trump, you expect to see Lindsey jump out of the airplane. And Lindsey is sitting there, and this is the bold thing. Well, Cheney said this or that. Look what Lindsey Graham said. He tried to stop Trump. He tried to stop him in a primary. Look what he said. Look what he said afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I just... in this moment, I can't imagine that there are people who want Trump and the chaos that comes with him. And as I said at the beginning, you know, the impulse control, I think, is a serious national security issue. And I mean that sincerely. The fact that he literally was standing before us saying, you know, I have to tell you. I can't not tell you. I have to. And tells the dumbest story. It's troubling to me. Also, wanted to get your thought on the other thing we've been talking about is I'm sure you saw the fake work, the fake McJob, you know, Donald Trump doing the drive-through window at a McDonald's in Feasterville, Pennsylvania. Any thoughts? You've done stuff like this, right?
Okay, I'm so weird about these things. I'm not going to mention this person's name because it would be very unfair. They are up for election, and so I'm not going to mention their name, all right? But a candidate one time had an ad, and they're talking, and I saw them, and they said, "What do you think?" I said, "You didn't have your seatbelt buckled in the ad." And he's like, "Oh," and of course the ad got pulled off. I look at things, all right? Now, the first thing I thought about was not Trump, you know, at the, you know, McDonald's, et cetera, and the ramifications are trying to say that Kamala Harris never worked at McDonald's, which she did during her college time, but he didn't have a hairnet on. That's me.
It's not real hair, so don't worry about it. It's fine.
But he doesn't have a hairnet.
Yeah.
Hair's falling in the French fry. I mean, that was my first reaction. He doesn't have a hairnet on. You know, who puts this stuff together? It's a gimmick. And a lot of backlash came from a lot of Republicans actually saying, it's a gimmick because she has said she worked there. He said she didn't. So, you know, they did a McDonald's gimmick. Now,
so imagine, before you move on, but imagine being inside someone's head to the point to where you're going to put together a fake photo op of you doing work where you basically control the whole thing. It's not a real, you didn't actually do any real work. Imagine, you know, spending time in your campaign to do that just to, I don't even know what it's supposed to prove about Kamala Harris. I mean, normally, look, you know, Paul Ryan, I guess, went and washed dishes at a homeless kitchen or something. And, you know, he was in and out within like 15 minutes. And people understand that's just a photo op. You want that image. What comes out of this? What does he benefit other than being mocked incessantly like he deserves to be for these fake McJob, these play wannabe jobs? Because it seems like he likes to play work, even though the guy's never, in my view, done an honest day's labor in his life.
Well, he went into the grocery store, too. And, of course, J.D. Vance did. And they had the price of the eggs way higher than when you looked at the shelf. On the news piece, you could see the eggs were cheaper.
Right.
I mean, it just kind of, this, when you do these things, unless you are a regular shopper, you know, when I was in Congress, I had two kids. I did all the grocery shopping. I could tell you. You know, in fact, it came up in a debate once. At that time, I said how much milk was a gallon. My opponent, who didn't have any kids, he didn't know. And, you know, so if you're in real life, you know some things. If I'm not in real life, I'm going to go to a grocery store and I'm going to film a commercial. It's probably going to be stupid, you know. And this is not like learn the average worker's job program, you know.
Yeah.
And on top of it, Trump had came out against the minimum wage for which would have applied to fast food workers, which is in itself the real irony.
Yeah, no, I mean it's amazing, the fact that a minimum, one of the workers who was there, makes in a year what he spends on his fast food orders, which is sad, the sad reality. But here we are. I mean, unfortunately, we're this divided of a nation. And the election's, quickly approaching. And it's a coin toss at this point. You know, will we know on election night who wins, do you think? Or is this going to be another one of those things where some political jockeying and some potential shenanigans could find their way into this?
Well, it's like anything, whichever state. I mean, look, the kingpin is Pennsylvania.
Right.
It's the kingpin. And Georgia, we can name all swing states, but Pennsylvania is a kingpin, Michigan, Wisconsin. And here's my attitude. I authored the Help America Vote Act, which you mentioned, with Steny Hoyer, who's still in the U.S. Congress. He was the number two Democrat under Pelosi when Democrats controlled the Congress. Mitch McConnell and the late Senator Ted Kennedy and Chris Dodd of Connecticut. We were the sponsors of this act. And the one thing, and we fought criticism on this, we had to fight it back. The one thing that was said all the time is, you guys created provisional voting and you're going to stall the election process. Provisional voting. And I would say this to any of your listeners. If you walk in the poll and they say, no, you were purged, you were this, you were that, you're not from here, I know you're not even from this country, no matter what they say, you say, I demand a provisional ballot under federal law. I demand a provisional ballot under federal law. They have to give it to you. Then shredded or it's counted. And especially in these close elections. Now, here is my attitude then and now, Rick. If it means that Pennsylvania is decided 7 days late because of U.S. military ballots coming in, provisional votes having to be counted because it's so close. If it means 7, 8, 9, 10 days, so what? Do you want an election instant on election night, or do you want an election with accuracy? So it may be late, and I say, so what?
Yeah. No, I mean, in 2020, we didn't get the final results until of Arizona, Michigan, and Wisconsin until a day after the election. Nevada and Pennsylvania were 4 days. Georgia was 9. North Carolina was 10. So we're going to have to prepare for the rhetoric that's going to come out, because, you know, back in 2020, I said exactly what Trump did. On election night, he's going to have the majority of votes, and it's going to be a big majority because only half the votes will have been counted, because right. Democrats were all doing mail-in ballots. And then as the week would go on, his lead would dwindle and he would lose. And that's exactly what happened. And they would whine and complain that they had won, which is exactly what they continue to do 4 years later.
Rick, your origins are an Ohio guy, and you know this next statement as well as I do. And this has happened before. Well, you know, to Republicans, well, you know, we were winning, and all of a sudden it tanked. Well, that's because Cuyahoga County wasn't counted yet.
Right.
And if you are a Republican and Cuyahoga County is not in yet, guess what? Unless you're a rare exception, like former Governor Rhodes years ago, you're going to lose that county. But people, I've heard it time after time, well, we were winning. What did they do up in Cuyahoga County? You know, well, they vote like they traditionally vote. So it happens. You're right. Certain amounts going to come in, and then people will say, well, we were winning, well, then we lost.
Yeah, just like my Guardians the other night were winning 2-0 in the sixth inning. They end up losing by the end of the game, but
it happens.
They were winning.
Yes.
Anyway, Bob, as always, I appreciate the insight. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
Our good friend Bob Ney. I want to hear your thoughts. Are you anticipating, as I am, some interesting shenanigans post-election? I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1983. That was the day that musician Merle Travis died. Known for his unique finger-picking guitar style, Travis wrote songs that captured the hard life of the coal miner. His songs drew from what he had seen growing up in Muhlenberg County, Kentucky. He was born in the town of Rosewood, the son of a coal miner. In 1947, Merle released a 4-record set, Folk Songs from the Hills. The album contained the song Dark as a Dungeon, what would become one of his most recognizable songs.
Come and listen, you fellers, so young and so fine, and seek not your fortune in the dark, dreary mines. It will form as a habit and seep in your soul till the stream of your blood is as black as the coal. It's dark as a dungeon and damp as the dew, for danger is double and pleasures are few. For
another song about the life of a miner was this song titled 9-Pound Hammer.
It's a long way to Harlan, it's a long way to Hazard, just to get a little brew, just to get a little brew. When I'm long gone, just make my tombstone out of number 9 coal. Old number 9 coal.
Perhaps Travis's most famous song was this one, 16 Tons.
Now some people say a man's made out of mud, but a poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood, skin and bones, a mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company
store.
Like what
you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, hope everyone's checking their registration to vote, making sure they haven't tossed you off the rolls or some other shenanigans that have gone on. Make sure you're registered. Make sure you got a plan how you're going to get to the polls. And you know, saveyourvote.org is where you go to look to check some of that stuff out. At least I would go there and check with your local elections officials. Make sure that you are registered. Make sure you got away. Make sure you make it a celebration. Because look, they're trying everything they can on the right to rig this before the first ballot's even cast. That's how they do it. So make sure you're registered. Make sure you got a plan. Make sure you get out. This election, as all of them, is all about getting people out to vote and getting people to the polls. So I hope everyone's doing that. Let's start there. I want to thank everybody who has taken time to send messages, to send their thoughts, their well-being wishes to my wife, Carol, who, as you know, back on September 12th, had a near-fatal motorcycle accident. Wasn't her fault, you know, as the trooper said, you know, been riding a long time. There was no avoiding that for her. And we are getting on the right path, on a positive path. So I want to thank everyone who has sent their thoughts and prayers and vibes and well wishes and all of that. Really, from the heart, do appreciate it. If you want to continue to send stuff, email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. My DMs on all the social media are open. Or you can mail to us at Carol Smith at P.O. Box 1026, Carlisle, Pennsylvania 17013. All of it just been very, very helpful and thoughtful to the family. Now, one of the things that caught my attention this week as we were dealing with our situation, happened to go to an outpatient facility. I'm not going to say which one it is in the neighborhood. I don't want them to get, you know, I don't want chaos, but I do, and I have mentioned it to them, that I'm not thrilled with this copay mascot. They have a cartoon, you know, thing of dollar bills, of money, a cartoon mascot on the computer that said, "Hey there, just wanted to check with you. Did you happen to remember to pay your copay today? Let me know if you need any help with that." And yeah, I do need help with that. I need you to pay my copay. I need a system that doesn't extract a pound of flesh out of me every time that I need some bit of help. Now, I'm very fortunate in, you know, the position that we're in. The copay isn't, we didn't have to pay one this time. But, you know, even if I had to, it's not life-altering. But it is annoying. And it is one of those things that we've allowed ourselves to be saddled with, that in our moment of crisis, in our moment of darkness, in a moment of struggle, we have this thrown in our face, and now with a cartoon character. That's the part that's, look, I get, you know, the person behind the desk, they've been instructed, got to collect a copay. I understand that the insurance companies are pushing this. Our entire healthcare system is based on the insurance companies getting theirs. But to come up with a cartoon character, I have a problem with that. Someone had to, at the board, at the local board of director level, the local establishment letter level, had to go, gee, how are we going to get people, you know, how are we going to get them to pay their copays? How can we encourage them to pay their copays? I know. We'll have a cute little mascot. We'll have a money mascot, so that we can remind people of what they don't have any of. So maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just, I don't know, seeing this a little differently. but I think it's distasteful. I think it's disgusting. I think it's wrong. And I hope, as I wrote in the letter, I hope this institution stops it. I hope they take it down. I hope they do away with it. I hope it never comes back. Just my thoughts. I want to hear yours, though. Have you seen anything like this at your local establishments? I want to hear about it, Rick, at therickssmithshow.com. As always, thanks so much for tuning in. And again, thank you for all the thoughts, the hopes, the prayers, all of that. We'll see you back here next time.
Email Rick. Email Rick at rick@therickssmithshow.com. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.